Sustainable Idaho is a collaboration between the Portneuf Resource Council and the ISU Sustainability Club.
Welcome to Sustainable Idaho, the show where we explore the economic, societal, and environmental implications of sustainability within Idaho. I'm Scott Greaves.
And I'm Rachel McGovern.
Scott, this week we're carrying on with our exploration of the FMC Corporation's storage of hazardous waste on the Shoshone-Bannock Tribal Reservation.
Yeah, last week we found out that the FMC used to have an elemental phosphorus facility approximately 3 miles northwest of Pocatello. Although most of the site is now demolished, what's left behind is a huge volume of hazardous chemical waste. And this waste is radioactive, carcinogenic, and poisonous.
Exactly. And last week, we heard from the Environmental Protection Agency. We asked them about the hazardous waste, how it's stored, and if it poses a risk to people or the environment.
Yeah, and the EPA told us that the FMC site was declared a Superfund site, or a legally recognized polluted site, in 1990. And the EPA continued to explain that most of the waste is elemental phosphorus, which reacts in the presence of oxygen to create phosphine gas. Phosphine gas is poisonous and lethal, even at very low concentrations. And this waste is hazardous to both people and the environment if it's not correctly monitored or managed.
But whilst this issue is fraught with serious environmental and health considerations, there is far more to the story.
Yeah, as we touched on last week, this story is entangled in a complex legal battle, which has even made its way to the US Supreme Court. At the heart of this story is the FMC Corporation versus the Shoshone-Bannock tribes.
In 1997, the EPA ruled that the FMC had broken the Resource Conservation and Recovery Act for the improper management of their hazardous chemical waste, and as a result, the EPA ordered the FMC to obtain permits from the tribes to be allowed to continue to store their hazardous waste. FMC and the tribes negotiated an agreement where FMC had to pay $2.5 million on June 1, 1998, and $1.5 million annually to continue the storing of the hazardous waste on the reservation.
Yeah, that's right. But this annual permitting agreement did not last very long. FMC made the initial payment of $2.5 million on June 1, 1998, and then paid the annual use permit fee between 1998 and 2001. But that was it. In 2002, the FMC stopped active plant operations and then decided they no longer needed to pay the annual permit fee. But the tribes held a very different interpretation of their agreement. They believed that the FMC was still required to pay the fee as long as the hazardous waste remained on the reservation land. And so, the stage was set.
What they did in 2002, FMC stopped doing business, but they left behind all of their toxic hazardous waste.
You're hearing from Bill Bacon, the lead attorney for the Shoshone-Bannock tribes. We started by asking Bill why the tribes felt that the FMC was obligated to continue to pay the annual use permitting fee.
So they agreed in 98, said as long as their hazardous waste would be left on the reservation, they would pay the 1.5. And they put that in writing, that into the future, they would continue to pay the 1.5 as long as their hazardous waste was within the reservation. And when they closed their plant in 02, they took it upon themselves to say, even though my waste is left behind, I no longer have to pay you because I no longer have a business.
At first glance, you might assume that FMC had no leg to stand on, because the agreement clearly stated that FMC was obligated to pay the permitting fee as long as the hazardous waste continues to be stored on the reservation. However, FMC's case centered on jurisdictional boundaries and questioned the very authority of the tribes to exercise civil regulatory jurisdiction over the non-Indian corporation. We continued by asking tribal attorney Mr. Bill Bacon about the tribal jurisdiction over non-Indians.
As a general rule, tribes do not have civil jurisdiction over non-Indian and non-Indian activities within the reservation. But there are two exceptions to that general rule. One is if the non-Indian enters into a consensual relationship with the tribes can have civil jurisdiction over the non-Indian. And the second is if the non-Indian's activities threaten the health and welfare, political integrity of the tribes can have civil jurisdiction over the non-Indian.
These two exceptions are central to this case. They originate from the 1981 Supreme Court case, Montana versus United States. The case centered on the jurisdiction over the riverbeds in the Blackfeet Reservation. The court ruled and established a precedent that tribes have jurisdiction over non-Indians if either a mutual consensual agreement exists or if the actions of the non-Indians threaten the health, welfare, or political integrity of the tribes.
The case was first heard in tribal court, with the burden of proof relating to the Montana exceptions falling on the tribes. In tribal court, the tribes successfully argued their case and satisfied the second Montana exception.
FMC appealed to the Idaho District Court, but the District Court upheld the tribal court decision. Then, in 2014, FMC appealed to the United States Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit, continuing to argue that the tribes lacked jurisdiction under the Montana exceptions. For the first exception, which requires a consensual legal agreement, the FMC argued that the EPA coerced its consent to tribal jurisdiction. And for the second exemption, which requires a threat to health and welfare, the FMC argued that they had taken remedial actions to clean up the site. However, the Ninth Circuit ruled in favor of the tribes under both exceptions, stating that the FMC's decision to enter into a legal agreement constituted a business decision to avoid the costs and hardships of litigation, and that the remedial actions were not sufficient to reduce the health and welfare risks to acceptable levels.
And to demonstrate how long this battle has been going on, FMC petitioned the U.S. Supreme Court to review the Ninth Circuit's decision. But on the 11th of January, 2021, the United States Supreme Court declined the petition and therefore upheld the FMC's obligation to backpay all of its annual permitting costs. FMC was ordered to pay approximately $19 million to the tribes.
And this case is important, not only because the Shoshone-Bannock tribes have finally received their compensation for the degradation of their tribal land, but it also continues to reinforce a powerful regulatory precedent which works to protect tribal land against non-Indian actions.
Next week on Sustainable Idaho, we're going to hear more from tribal attorney Mr. Bill Bacon about the human and environmental risks posed by the continued hazardous waste storage. We're also going to hear from the FMC Corporation. Join us for Sustainable Idaho every Tuesday morning at 7:35 a.m.
Sustainable Idaho airs Tuesday morning at 7:35. Thank you to our partners, the Portneuf Resource Council and ISU Sustainability Club. Links to this and past programs can be found at kisu.org.